You could have been a supporter of any football team. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. You could have been following the champions of the Champions League. You could have been, you could have been, you could have been. What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me, and that's the town where I come from. In Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley, in Bromley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Ravens Weekly, and this is episode 96. My name is Matt Hall, and I'm delighted, as ever, to be joined by Jeff Hutton. Jeff, how are we doing?
Very well, thank you. I thought you were going to talk about the fact it was being close to 100 episodes and stuff.
No, I thought I'd leave that out this week.
Oh, sorry. Because
I've run out of puns and clever things to say about us getting close to 100, so I thought I'd leave that one out. I was hoping to be a bit more subtle than that, but anyway. Jeff, it's been a really busy week, hasn't it? We've had some brilliant news concerning Andy Woodman. Obviously, speculation around his future for the past couple of weeks, really, and it was really good that we were able to nip that in the bud earlier this week, and Andy is staying at Bromley Football Club. Brilliant news.
Absolutely great news, Matt. Like you say, whichever way you look at it, a League One club has tried to take our manager, and our manager's chosen to stay here. I think it's a massive vote of confidence, a massive sign of our progress, just everything. And like you say, I suppose for Andy as well, you know, everything that's been done before that, as like you say, we've earned his respect. He's obviously, he's got the respect of everybody here, and everything we've done on this journey, moving into this new building, the change in infrastructure, change in facilities, the signings. I mean, Scott Wagstaff, you know, people talk about, oh, right, we're going to reach a usual period, mid-season slump, all of that. I mean, we go out and sign players. We go to try and attempt to strengthen the squad. So I'm sure Andy's had the full backing of the chairman throughout this whole period, even leading up to this. And I'm sure that played a part. We hear from Andy later, doesn't he? He talks about his reasons and obviously
yes,
not being pulled either way. But look, end result, we've still got Andy Woodman as our manager. And off the back of the recent run and the start we've had to this year, absolutely brilliant.
Absolutely amazing news, Jeff. Like you say, a real show of how far we've come. And of course, you can listen to the full interview with Andy Woodman later on in this podcast, which includes a little catch-up on all things his future. And obviously, he will be remaining at Hayes Lane, which is great news. And something else which was great news, Jeff, was the whole day against Notts County on Saturday, the 29th of January. Now, let's start off on the footballing side. We were really treated to a great game of football, weren't we?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you talk about busy week. I'm obviously rewinding to include the Woking game. Obviously, we covered that on the last podcast. Mm. But to do that on the Tuesday night like we did and then turn up on Saturday and play how we did, it just gets results. You know, we just get results. And like you say, Matt, in the end, in terms of actual goal action, there was just the one goal, and it was yourself and I'm not really sure.
Dan.
And Dan that were on commentary. And here's what you had to say.
So, time is running out in the first half here for either side, and it's Bromley who have maybe the final attackers. Coulson whips it in, it's Cheek with the header, and it's on the line, surely! And in! And it's Gene Arthurs again! Michael Cheek with the header towards the goal line. It wasn't dealt with by Notts County, and Jude Arthurs in the right place at the right time profits, and it's Jude Arthurs with his third goal in as many games.
Oh, Matt, obviously clearly excited with the goal. It was, again, crowd over 3,600, second
incredible,
highest crowd of the season. You know, real team effort on and off the field, I think, leading up to this game. And it was just brilliant. All the stuff that was done in the schools, the stuff up to sort of high street, where that's probably all of that stuff really, really all aided in attracting a fantastic crowd. And I think that's pushed our average now, league average, over 2,000 for the first time this season. We obviously had a slow start with everything, but just absolutely brilliant. The atmosphere on the day, the youth teams that were involved, both internal youth teams and external, Matt. We had our youth teams.
We had the Bromley Under 13 Invictors, who were the mascots. Big thank you to them. They actually went into the exec club, so they got the full VIP treatment.
The guys are up there, yes.
Yeah, thank you to Neil and Stuart on that front. We had AFC Shortlands Under 10s and also Balden Sports Under 8s with us on the day. So Ronan the Raven was very, very busy and shocking at goalkeeping as ever on the half-time penalties.
And also, Matt, shout out, you got some help for a change. We welcomed Charlotte Richardson.
Yes,
the exec club.
Yes, we did. Yeah, so rather than me buzzing about all over the place, Charlotte was hosting the room upstairs. It was brilliant to see a packed out room for her to host as well.
It was, yes.
And so she did the usual catch-up with Andy, and man of the match on the day was Chris Bush. So the sponsors were treated to an appearance from Chris Bush, and it was great to see not only that, but at the end of the game, the amount of kids and young people that were staying behind asking for autographs, asking for photos from the players. I think you can see it on one of the videos that went out on the socials earlier this week, Jeff, just the buzz and just the excitement and the real connection with it. It's very special.
The day had everything to have. The usual 200 kids in the morning, Saturday morning soccer school, they all get their ticket, the build up into the game, and then it was almost that nighttime vibe, because as it's towards the end of the game, as it started
to get dark,
started to get dark, and the floodlights are coming on, it just had that little Tuesday night feel again.
I don't think anything really went wrong on that day, and it's real testament, like you say, Jeff, to the team behind the scenes and to the players and to the fans for really making, let me say, on top of the fantastic attendance, the atmosphere was superb, wasn't it? Lots of good banter between the two sets of fans.
It's going to take time. There's no one size fits all. We don't stick up a banner or put a drum out and everything sold overnight. That's going to take time, but it's great to see it slowly developing. And like you say, there was a bit of to and fro from both sides. And again, obviously contributing to that crowd, a fantastic effort from the Notts County fans as always. A phenomenal number of them turning up.
And to add to that, there was a lot of respect actually between the two sets of fans, which was really nice. You look at social media afterwards, lots of well wishes from Notts County fans, which is refreshing. Andy and Ian Birchnell with a lot of respect between each other as well.
Both complimentary towards each other in both interviews, I saw.
Yes, yeah, they were. And it was really nice actually. Just prior to doing the interview, I was with them as they briefly exchanged some pleasantries, which was lovely to see.
Wasn't about that point.
No. No, I was fixated on doing that interview and getting that done. So,
but saying that, absolutely fantastic. We then only got one opportunity again to do this now in the next 4 or 5 weeks, just the one home league game. In February. But what a game! Stockport
County. What a game! Currently top of the league, Stockport County.
Yeah, currently.
Currently. That's the clever word there. But what a game that will be! And I'd imagine Stockport fans will travel really well, being the big club that they are. They will have a support base in London too, so it will be a fantastic game. Under floodlights.
And the kids go free, so under 16s again, and it's half term, so no excuses. Would you expect young kids not got to go to school tomorrow, the morning after, unlike me at the moment. absolutely brilliant. So really looking forward to that one. Again, the activation leading up to it and us getting out in High Street and getting those tickets out there, I think it'd be great. And you know what? If we can welcome a similar crowd like we did on Saturday, it'd be an absolutely phenomenal atmosphere under those lights.
There is something about football under floodlights, isn't there, at Hayes Lane? And it's always been that way ever since I've watched Bromley. It's just felt a bit different. Under floodlights.
It just went to a new level when we had, I think it was Leighton Orient.
6-1,
Renegade, and we beat them 6-1. From that moment on, all I can remember is Tuesday night being absolutely electric.
And struggling to sleep afterwards.
Oh, yeah, you don't sleep after Tuesday night. Tough.
We said in the last podcast that we needed a jingle for exclusive news and breaking news. We currently don't have that.
We can put on the deck. On the desk.
Yeah, rather than smashing the desk. But we do have an exclusive interview for you this week.
Again.
Many of you, again, we're on fire, aren't we? You will have seen the recent news of the signing of goalkeeper Ellery Balcom on loan from Brentford. And this is an interview you will not
England
find.
England goalkeeper, by the way.
Yes, England. Yeah, England pedigree. You will not find this interview anywhere else. It is a Ravens Weekly exclusive. Here's what Ellery had to say on signing for Bromley. Ellery Balcom, welcome to Bromley Football Club. How's it feel?
Yeah, good. It's good to get going. Good to have a good training session today, and I can't wait to get started.
And it's your first day today. We've talked about that. How have you found it, and how have you found the facilities around you?
Yeah, really good setup, especially for a National League team. Just can't wait to get going, get on a pitch, and get in front of the fans.
And it's a good group of players as well, isn't it?
Definitely. Got a massive group of players, good talent in there, and obviously they're pushing towards something, and everyone knows what they want, so yeah.
And a bit about you, growing up, you find that some goalkeepers actually started as outfield players. What about you? Was it always a GK for you?
Yeah, always a GK. I didn't know what to do when I first turned up to football when I was young, so I just went in goal and just started from there.
And you've come through the ranks at Brentford, and it's been an amazing few years for the club, hasn't it? How's that been for you?
Yeah, definitely. Being a part of that promotion squad at the end of last season was a great experience. And yes, amazing how they've turned around from when I first joined, they were League Two and now Premier League.
and you have played football in League One. But one thing I wanted to pick up on was that you've actually played in Denmark as well. How was that as an experience for you and moving away and such as well?
Yeah, definitely. Good experience. I mean, it's a good experience to play abroad anyways. And the level out there was good. They play football, so I really enjoyed it out there.
And you're coming into a team that's doing very, very well at the minute. So looking forward to being a part of that and hopefully achieve something special.
Yeah, definitely. Everyone knows what they want here, so just can't wait to get going.
Well, Ellery, welcome on board. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Ellery there, Matt. I mean, like I say, an England goalkeeper.
Great pedigree, hasn't he? You know, he's played elsewhere in terms of his spell in Denmark, and he's played in League One as well, not to mention the experience with England under 18s, 19s and 20s. This really is a highly rated goalkeeper.
And in a team that done remarkably well to secure him so quickly. This off the back of, obviously, Cook being released?
Yes, it's a shame. Obviously, Reece was offered a contract and decided it wasn't for him. Reece is a very good goalkeeper and has done very well in the games he's played for us. And we wish him all the best for the future.
He's interested in the trophy, wasn't it? I wonder if Ellery will
yes,
play in the trophy.
Possibly.
That's been Reece's play so far.
It has.
Been an interesting one. Obviously, Tunbridge Angels coming up a couple of weeks' time.
Yes, well, next Saturday. The 12th, yeah. And that'll be like a trip down memory lane, won't it, for a lot of us. Really looking forward to that. Anyway, moving on and to the, I guess, the one of the main parts of this podcast, and that is the weekly catch-up with Andy Woodman.
He's the only part where people...
Well, it's certainly not us, is it? So the weekly catch-up with Andy Woodman, I really enjoyed this one. This was a really, really interesting catch-up. Lots of different things to cover in this interview, including a guest appearance from Andy earlier this week, which we'll get onto afterwards, and also, obviously, what we've discussed earlier on in this podcast regarding his future. Here's what Andy had to say on the week's so far. Andy, so we're into February now, and you look back at January, couldn't really have gone any better, could it?
No, it was a brilliant January for us. You know, the lads really stepped up, and we ploughed through the games and got the results and worked really hard. So we're past that now. We're looking into February now very quickly.
And you said yourself, Notts County's performance at Hayes Lane on Saturday was one of, if not the best away team this season. So it makes the result even bigger, doesn't it?
Yeah, Notts County are a fantastic team with good players and a good manager. And I don't say that with any sort of smugness. You know, that was a real tough game for us and a real message of intent that we got that result. We're not saying we played them off the park by any stretch, but we went about our business, done our due diligence on them, and the game plan worked for us. That said, I keep saying it every week, fine margins, and the margins went our way that week, and we got the result.
3,600 in attendance on the Saturday, and a lot of first-timers, and expecting a lot of those to come back after that performance.
Yeah, we keep saying it. We hope they keep coming back. You know, if we're not going to get them through the gates now with the games and the results we're getting and where we're sitting in the league, then we're never going to get them, are we? Let's be honest. So let's hope they keep coming back, and hopefully we can keep churning out results to give them something to watch and cheer. That would be great. But they, you know, the atmosphere made a real big difference, I personally believe, in our stadium. And it's an electric place when it's full. So, you know, from that point of view, brilliant. And come on, come back and watch us and keep supporting us right the way through to the end.
And a couple of new faces this week, starting off with the signing of Ellery Balcombe, a goalkeeper with... great pedigree.
Yeah, I mean, Ellery signed. I've seen one or two people wonder why Reece has left. We offered Reece a contract. Reece didn't feel it was the right contract for him to sign. So, you know, I had to do the right thing by the football club. And Reece, you know, Reece was loved here by me and everyone, and we wish him well on his journey. And so I had to act quickly and make sure I brought in a goalkeeper of pedigree. And this boy is pedigree. So yeah, he's going to be around the building. He's going to be challenging to get in the team. He's got a big challenge in his hands because Mark Cousins is a very good goalkeeper, but Mark's been around the game long enough to probably have seen a lot of challenges in his time. So we want to create competition, you know. We want to make sure we've got good players to fill in if someone comes out of the team, and in that instance Ellery is a real good addition to our football club.
And a bit further up the pitch, you've also added the services of Connor Parsons.
Yeah, again, we got an injury to Harry, so we just had to act quickly, really, and we actually didn't think we'd get Connor. Really refreshing conversation with the young man. I spoke to him on the phone. We spoke to Wickham and his agent, and they all said, yes, it felt be a good loan. And then you've always got the problem of speaking to the player. And literally, his words were, yeah, I'm going to jump in my car and just come down now. And it was as simple as that. And it was quite refreshing to have a young man just want to come down and play football. Because if I tell you the amount of players I have spoke to on transfer deadline day and the week leading up to it, that sort of didn't want to come and didn't want to play football, it's worrying. So fair play to Connor.
And we look ahead to the trip to Halifax this weekend, and results for both teams recently building up really nicely to this one. It's a big game.
Yeah, Halifax is going to be tough, isn't it? Let's be honest. I mean, they're a big club and they're in this division and they're doing really well. I think they're a really informed team at the moment. A game with a manager that sets his team up, to play on the front foot. So we know it's going to be a hard game, but then I think we've been saying that about every game we faced. Every game's a hard game, and we'll go up there and go about our business as normal. And hopefully, like I say, the margins fall our way again.
And the Community Trust launched a new project this week, today actually, in the form of Ravens Chat. And you yourself came up to say hello to everyone. Looked like you enjoyed that.
It was brilliant. If anyone would have videoed that today, I was in a room with a load of ex-football managers and football experts. What was really nice is that they told me where I've been going wrong in every department of my managerial time here, which was really refreshing. But I thoroughly enjoyed their conversations. They're brutally honest, brutally frank, and they're a really nice company, and I've really actually enjoyed it. I'm going to make a regular thing of popping up there, because I think I enjoyed it more than them. Some real nice chats. So I did say to them at the end, I'd hate to come up if we lose again, because you guys have ripped me apart. But yeah, all in good spirit, and I enjoyed all of their company. It was fantastic.
And Andy, finally, there's been some, obviously in the past few weeks, some speculation around your future, and that's been put to bed by the club this week and yourself.
Yeah, I think it's important that I just sort of make my position clear, really, without going into too much detail or discrediting or disrespecting anyone. The opportunity was there for me to be the manager of Gillingham Football Club, and I looked at it and spoke to everyone concerned, and probably, more importantly, spoke to my family. My decision was to stay here. It's as simple as that. There was no twisting of arm. It was a decision I felt was the right decision for me and right decision for my managerial journey, and for all the people here that have committed to me, players, staff. So I felt, as much as I was really, blown away to be asked to be the manager of Gillingham Football Club, it just didn't feel it was the right time for me after all of this. And like I said, it had dragged on a little bit. So, I'm quite happy to stay at Bromley Football Club, and that was solely my decision. There was no one, trying to make me do something I didn't want to do. And here I am, and I'm looking forward to it. And why wouldn't I? It's a fantastic club that's already given me a lot. So I felt that I needed to show that respect and loyalty to the club and the chairman.
Well, Andy, brilliant as always. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
It's always a pleasure to catch up with Andy. I know I always say it, but his openness, his honesty, what you see is what you get with Andy. And that's always been the case.
I love that you're moving around his office for the
videos. We are.
When the videos go online, it's just a different angle of the office.
Next week, you're going to see window number 2. So you can look forward to that. Great to hear his honesty and his willingness to communicate all of that. And Jeff, we had the pleasure of a guest appearance from Andy earlier this week.
He did, yes. He popped into our Ravens chat session.
Our launch.
Which was our launch session. For those of you who may recall, we spoke about it quite often with regards to social isolation and getting groups together on a regular basis. Obviously, it's targeted to the general public, predominantly over 50s, but we've had a number of Bromley supporters taking up on Thursday, yesterday.
Yes.
Which was absolutely brilliant. A couple of hours, what was it, 11 till 1?
Yeah.
And again, it was great to see the manager get involved.
I think it's fair to say Andy got quite a grilling, didn't he, actually?
Like he said, I think he said when he left, he said... If that's what I get when I come in here when I'm winning, I don't want to come in here when I'm losing. But it was all in good jest, and it was a really, really positive start to it. It's happening every Thursday, Matt. All the details are on the website. You can register there.
A huge thank you to Laura and Courtney at Signature at Beckenham for their support of this project. They've been absolutely fantastic in helping us getting this up and running, and we're really, really excited to work with them.
A big thank you to Sue Whitaker and Jackie as well for helping us organise it all and get it off to a successful start.
Absolutely. And we all enjoyed it, didn't we, being in the room, actually.
It was really nice.
Really, really nice. So thank you to everyone who attended. We look forward to seeing more of you attend in the coming weeks, as Jeff said, you can find out all the information on the website and register for your place. Right, let's move on to Academy then. And the girls had a fantastic week with regards to their result. They beat Spurs 3-1, which is a phenomenal achievement. Blimey. Congratulations to all involved in that. The under-17s beat Chatham Town 4-1, whilst unfortunately the under-18s fell to a 3-2 defeat against Leyton Orient. But 2 out of 3 is not bad. A couple of other things on the Academy under-23s front. Archie Burnett has extended his loan at Leatherhead for a further month, and he seems to be going down very well with the Tanners, so good luck to him. And unfortunately, the under-23s fixture tonight, if you're listening to this on the Friday, ahead of the Halifax game, the fixture against Oxford City at home has been postponed, so we'll give you a new date on that as soon as we can.
We've got a busy month ahead, though, haven't they? We've got a couple of other home games coming up at the end of the month. They've got a Friday, I think it's the second Friday of the month, isn't it? And then
Saturday, isn't it?
They've got a Saturday afternoon game here.
26th. It'll be like a first team day, won't it? Obviously, the first team not in action that day, Jeff, due to the odd number of teams in the National League. So that's a weekend off for the first team.
That's going to be brilliant for the under-23s. It'll be great to get a crowd
to get
down
the support,
here.
Absolutely. I'm sure people want their football
What's
fix.
What's that date? The 26th. Saturday the 26th.
Yeah, looking forward to that, actually. That
the should link be, should hopefully be on the website
should nice.
Shortly, shouldn't it? Yeah.
Brilliant, perfect. Fantastic. So, we seem to be bringing you new signings left, right and centre. Let's go for another one then. Back to First Team Matters, as we were delighted to welcome Connor Parsons to Bromley Football Club on loan from Wycombe Wanderers. And here's what he had to say in his first interview at Hayes Lane. Connor, welcome to Bromley Football Club. Great to have you on board. How's it feel to have signed?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm buzzing. I'm excited to be, you know, part of a promotion race. And yeah, I'm really looking forward to getting started.
It's all happened very quickly, hasn't it? Today was your first day. How did you find it?
Yeah, I was good to train this morning. Everything was kind of getting sorted yesterday, so I got a phone call in the morning yesterday, and I live back home in Norwich, like towards the East Coast, so it all got sorted out yesterday. Drove up, stayed in the hotel last night, trained this morning, saw the lads, and had a good chat with the gaffer. And yeah, it's been good.
And it's been a great season for the club so far, so you're looking forward to being a part of that and hopefully play your part.
Yeah, obviously it's attractive to see where you are on the table. Obviously you're up there, so pointing off top right now. It's good for a young player like me to come in and get experience and be a part of that journey, you know.
And you have had experience in the National League, haven't you, actually, coming from a promotion rival in Notts County?
Yeah, obviously I spent a couple months there, got a little bit of experience, and I returned back to Wycombe the other week, and obviously I saw Bromley were interested as well, a couple options, but obviously where you are on the table, the style of football you play with wing backs similar to Wycombe, it's best fit for me.
And we were just talking off camera about your career history. Can you talk fans through that?
Oh yeah, so I spent 8 years at Norwich City growing up for the academy, and when COVID hit in 2020, I went and played non-league in step 5 just to enjoy football again, really, because I had an ACL injury and I kind of didn't really play much football in the space of the last 2 years before that, so I just wanted to go and enjoy football, just get 90 minutes of my legs week in, week out. But also with COVID, the season was cancelled. I didn't really have a football club or anything for a long time, so I was just training on my own pretty much. And then I played step 3 semi-pro with Lowestoft, but that was cut short again just because of COVID, and then training on my own for a few months, and I ended up heading out to Iceland. Played over there for minutes because they had no restrictions on COVID, and I didn't want to stop playing football, so I went out there just for game time and keep my fitness up, and ended up coming back and signing for Wycombe.
So all the hard work paid off in the end, didn't it, getting back to being a professional?
Yeah, exactly that. I sacrificed too much growing up, you know, so I feel like COVID was like a make or break sort of time. I think I saw it more as an opportunity to keep working hard and work on things, you know, that I knew I needed to work on, like, every single day, and yeah, here we are now, and I'm grateful for that.
And how would you describe yourself as a player to the fans?
I'm very direct. I say I've got a lot of players. I like to think that I'm someone that's quite exciting to watch, you know, gets you on the edge of your seat, wants to try and make things happen, and yeah, that's what you can expect from me.
It's a great group of players, isn't it? How have you found settling into that group today?
Yeah, they've all welcomed me. You know, I had a good chat with the gaffer before, saying that there's no one in the changing room that's got like an ego. It's a very good group, everyone gets on. I can see that straight away. Sometimes you go into a changing room environment and it's like little groups, like, but I can see here that everyone's gelled and everyone's getting on. I think that shows in the table and the results you get on the pitch.
big game on Saturday away to FC Halifax, similar positions in the table. Looking forward to that, and also to meeting the fans as well.
Yeah, I'm excited for that. Obviously, it's a massive game to come into. I think they're third in the table and we're fourth, so obviously it's a massive, massive game, but they're the games you want to be playing in as a player, you know, where you know you've got a bit of pressure on it. Everyone's got their eyes on this game because it's top of the table clash, but yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Well, welcome aboard. Thanks for joining us, Connor.
Thank you.
Great to hear from Connor there, Matt. I came across really well in his interview.
He really did, yeah. It was brilliant to sit down with him and actually talk about his quite interesting journey from being in the youth ranks at Norwich City and then dropping out of professional football and then getting back into it and his time in Iceland, which was fascinating to hear about. So really looking forward to seeing Connor play. And yeah, it seems like we've got another great young player on board.
And obviously, like you say, the incomings this week, but obviously outgoings over the last couple of weeks as well. I'm just thinking about players that have gone out on loan, etc. A few updates there as well.
Yeah, so in addition to Archie Burnett, obviously Finlay Lovett, you will have seen, signed for Bognor Regis Town on loan. A great player with plenty of promise, Finlay.
He's been in the first year of pros, hasn't he?
He has, yes, and he's also played in the first team on a few occasions. He scored on his debut in a 3-2 victory over Corinthian Casuals for Bognor Regis Town earlier this week.
I saw that, brilliant.
So good luck to him and fair play. It's a great achievement and certainly one we want to keep our eyes on. Corey Roberts has joined Dartford on loan, so best of luck to him.
I think they love him down there already, don't they?
They do, yeah. He got man of the match on his first game, so best of luck to him for the rest of the season in what should be an interesting promotion push, actually, in the Conference South. And finally, Sam Skeffington, obviously at Billericay at the moment, scored in a 1-0 win over Hashtag United in the Essex Senior Cup, I believe, earlier this week as well. So, yes, best of luck to all of those players as well, and we look forward to keeping an eye on how they're doing.
Some talented players there, but it just goes to show the strength of depth we've got in the current squad and the levels there.
What can you do?
That they're out on loan and they're unbelievable.
What can you do?
Anyway, back to us. Halifax Town, FC Halifax Town, apologies, this Saturday, Matt.
Yes, it is indeed, and those of you eagle-eyed will remember the return or reverse game, if you prefer, earlier this season. It was a 0-0 draw in the end, but it was actually a fairly entertaining one, and unfortunately it was Bromley and the ever reliable Michael Cheek who missed a penalty, unfortunately hitting the post on that day, and it did end in a 0-0 draw on that occasion. Both sides doing very well this season, and it was actually it's only goal difference, sorry, that splits the two teams in the table at the moment, both on 50 points.
Massive
Halifax
game,
with a superior goal difference, but Bromley with a game in hand, so it is even more of a bigger game, and I'm sure the crowd will be brilliant up at Halifax.
We'll be in the old Free Pigeons is it Free Pigeons?
Yeah, that's where everyone's going, isn't it?
Supporters coach?
Yeah, supporters coach. If you're listening to this on the Friday before midnight, I think, or before 11:30 tonight, you can still book your place on the supporters coach for tomorrow. It leaves at 8 o'clock. And yeah, let's hope for a good away backing for Andy Woodman's men. Just while I'm on that point, just to jump in, there are coach travel options available for you for not only tomorrow, but four other away games.
I'm
going to do my best to remember them off the top of my head. We've got Kings Lynn on the 19th of February, Weymouth on the 22nd of February, Torquay on the 5th of March, and Yeovil Town on the 19th of March. Have I remembered that correctly? You can't teach that. But anyway, do book your place on the website, bromleyfc.co.uk.
One of the games we're not doing a coach for is Southend.
Yes,
and
which is on Tuesday.
Next week.
It is on Tuesday, isn't it? And actually, it comes at a time when Southend have hit a really, really good run of form, actually. And part of that sort of transition from their difficult start was crossing over as Bromley played them in the Boxing Day game. That ended 0-0. And things have actually started to look a little bit on the up for Southend. So we're expecting a good game at Roots Hall, and we're really looking forward to our first visit, obviously, from a Bromley perspective. In recent times. So I'm sure it'll be a fantastic game. There is no supporters coach for that one, as Jeff mentions, but that is Tuesday the 8th of February, kickoff 7:45.
Matt, like we've done quite often now on the recent episodes, we've managed to get somebody to give us a opposition view from Southend. Today it's Chris Phillips from the Southend Echo.
Very nice.
And here's what he had to say.
It's never been dull following Southend United, and that's certainly been the case again this season. Earlier on, after back-to-back relegations, it was still horrific, to be honest. The results were terrible, and frustrations were certainly high among the support. supporters, which resulted in some protests and fans coming onto the pitch during the 4-0 defeat to Chesterfield at Roots Hall. That proved to be Phil Brown's last match in charge, and thankfully all of that seems a long time ago right now. Kevin Mayer's in charge and there's certainly a lot more of a professional structure and a real feel-good factor at the club right now. Kev supported by Darren Curry and Mark Bentley, while Chief Executive Tom Lawrence deserves real credit for the part that he's played as well. Stan Collymore and John Steele have joined him, so there's real expertise in place at the football club now. On top of that, the chairman's not really involved in the day-to-day running of the football side, things at least, and Blues have also made some really good signings. Results have started to turn around and we've won more games in the past 24 days now than in the whole of 2019, which really underlines just how far the club has come and the kind of progress that that has been made. Taking that into consideration, at the same time, nobody's getting carried away, but it's certainly nice to be feeling positive again and actually looking forward to going to the games, because that hadn't been the case for a very, very long time here. Bromley is certainly one that everyone's really looking forward to now, because it's a genuine opportunity to see how Southend can do against one of the top teams in the National League. The recent wins, other than the one against Jovo, have all come against sides down towards the bottom, but Tuesday is a chance for the team to show they can also do well against one of the sides towards the top of the table, and I'm sure it's one them and all of the fans are really looking forward to, because it's been an awful long time since confidence was this high at the football club. So Tuesday is definitely one we're all excited for, and we can't wait for it.
Big thanks to Chris there. Always great to hear the opposition view of things. Like you say, it looks like they're on the start of a turnaround now, after obviously quite an awful demise their end. And yeah, following that, it's the FA Trophy.
It is, and as we said earlier, a trip back down memory lane, isn't it? Tunbridge Angels away. I think everyone at our end was quite happy when that draw went through. Obviously, would have loved a home game.
Spoke about it, didn't we? If it was going to be an away game, it's probably one of the best ones.
Absolutely, and we're really looking forward to it. We've had many good trips down to Longmead over the years. And usually it's been an entertaining fixture as well. I think we were last there competitively in the Kent Senior Cup back in the 2018-19 season. We did, of course, play a pre-season friendly there, unfortunately, when there were no spectators allowed. I think, was it, we discussed on the last podcast, Jeff, was it 2010, the FA Cup?
Oh, there's been some memorable games down there, 100%. I think, like I say, there was that one with the FA Cup with Ryan Hall, Donal O'Sullivan, if I remember. Always an entertaining affair. And obviously after that, Matt, it's Tuesday night at home to Stockport.
It is indeed. And boy, do we need all the support we can get for that one. Again, it's going to be a massive game. Stockport are going to travel well. It'll be brilliant to replicate the atmosphere that we saw last week at home to Notts County, and the crowd as well. So please do come on down and show your support on that night. It's Football Under Floodlights at Hayes Lane, Tuesday the 15th of February, 7:45 kickoff. It promises to be an entertaining one, Jeff, and we're all looking forward to it, I know.
Kids go free,
absolutely. Get the kids down. There's no excuses. It's half term, so no school night.
Beautiful.
There we go. And I think that's it, Jeff.
Is it?
I think that is it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining me, Jeff. Thank you so much, everybody, for listening in and for your support. We'll be back again next week. Take care until then.
What's all this stuff you're giving us? There's just one team for me.